Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
There's a drive to center field deep by Mancini. Jackie back looking up. And this ball is gone into the bleachers.
3-1 from Kastner coming. Drilled to left center by Mancini. This ball taking off. This ball is gone. His second home run in as many at-bats. The Baltimore Orioles have a 4-0 lead on the Red Sox today.
Recapping the Red Sox loss against the Orioles.
Here's the pitch, and he swings and grounds a diving stab by the first baseman. And underhand to first in time. Davis to Gibbons, and the Orioles have shot out the Red Sox 5-0. And the Red Sox strand Mookie at third. They are shut out for the first time in 81 games, and they drop the series to the lowly Orioles 2-1.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEEI.
All right, so your Boston Red Sox just dropped 2 of 3. To the almighty Baltimore Orioles. What do you make of your club right now? Brian Barrett with you for the next hour or so. The number is 617-779-7937. Here's the thing that I look at. So Dave Dombrowski multiple times said this season that the starters need to be better. We're built around the starting rotation. And he is right about that. They are clearly built around the starting rotation. You're talking about $21 million invested in Rick Porcello. $17 million per season invested in Nathan Eovaldi, who's been a no-show because of injuries. He's going to be coming out of the bullpen. Chris Sale, $145 mil. David Price, $217 million. Erod still under club control on a relatively easy number in terms of the financial impact of Erod's contract. But nonetheless, for the most part, your guys are making big-time money. And which starter right now do you feel great about? Is there anybody in this rotation right now where you're saying, yeah, super confident every fifth day he's going to go out there and perform? Because let's really go through the list. Porcello, nope. He's been one of the worst pitchers in Major League Baseball. So it's not Porcello. Porcello's been absolutely atrocious, okay? And we all saw it last night. Give the guy a 5-0 lead, he gives it right back. Nathan Eovaldi can't even really judge the guy because he's going to be a reliever. So that's a no. Andrew Kastner, the guy he just picked up, you saw him on the mound today. 4 earned runs. This is after he gave up 5 earned runs in his previous start. He's given up 4 home runs. In fact, if you look at it, he's pitched in 12 innings, and he's given up a run in at least 6 of those innings. So 50% of the innings that Andrew Kastner has pitched as a member of the Boston Red Sox, at least 1 run has scored in those innings, and he's given up 4 home runs, okay? It's a guy that hadn't given up a home run in like months, and now he comes over to the Red Sox, he gives up 4 in 2 games. So he has not shown up whatsoever. And by the way, somebody get that guy a bigger glove. Why does he have the smallest glove ever? So you can't rely on Kastner. When you look at Chris Sale, all right, nice. Congratulations. Chris Sale actually had a nice start against the Blue Jays after 3 consecutive horrible starts where he gave up at least 5 earned runs. But are you saying because he pitched well against the Toronto Blue Jays, who ironically have been like Chris Sale's kryptonite this year, going into that game, he had an ERA over 7 against the Blue Jays. Are you saying because of the way that he pitched the other day that you feel confident going forward? Because I'm not there yet. I need to actually see Chris Sale do it against good competition. Because quite frankly, all season long, he hasn't. You think about it, the Yankees, each time he pitched against the Yankees, he gave up 4 earned runs. You think about the Astros starts, lost one of those games, and the one that he won, he only went 5 1/3, and he was bailed out by Marcus Walden. He left the game with the bases loaded with 1 out, and Walden got a double play ball from Jake Marisnyk to get out of that inning. So he hasn't shown up for any big games this season. And he had 3 consecutive horrible starts, and he showed up against the Blue Jays. All right, great. Need to see this against good competition. Also, the fact that he was only throwing 90 to 91 miles an hour on his fastball through the first 4 innings. He dialed it up in the 5th inning. But I don't think he can live at 90-91 when you pitch against the Yankees next Sunday night on ESPN. I don't think he can do that against the New York Yankees, okay? You can't be throwing 90-91 mile an hour fastball. Sorry, Yankees going to hit that thing out of the damn ballpark. And I get it, his changeup looked good last time. He was referring to the fact that he was using it as an out pitch. But I need to see more from Chris Sale before I say, all right, Sale Day is a thing again. Remember that was a thing? Every time Chris Sale pitched, he'd say Sale Day, and everybody put it all over Twitter. Like, before Sale Day is a thing again, I need to see him do it against the Rays. And I need to see him do it against the Yankees. I want to see Chris Sale actually step up when it comes to better competition. It's great that he had a nice outing against the Blue Jays, and my God, did he need it. But I need to see more consistency from him. With David Price, okay, he's the guy that you looked at all season long and said he's been your most consistent starter. Okay, but what's happened the last couple of outings? Now, he was good in the Detroit game, but he only went five innings. He was pretty good in the Dodgers game, but he only went five innings. And then we saw what happened on Friday night, where he only went four innings, and he got lit up for eight hits and six earned runs against the Baltimore Orioles, who rank in the 20s in every major statistical category from an offensive perspective. So one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball, they lit him up, and he couldn't locate his pitches. So now, is this the first rough patch of the season for David Price? So you can't tell me that you feel super confident about David Price right now, based on the way that now he's not going deep into ballgames, and his most recent outing was absolutely horrible, right? So you can't feel super confident about David Price right now. Now, Erod is pitching the best baseball of his career. We saw it against the Dodgers, seven innings. He had 10 strikeouts in that start. So maybe Erod has finally turned that corner because he's had a nice start against the Blue Jays, gave up a couple of home runs, but only gave up two runs. He's put together a couple of nice starts as Erod. But are you super invested in Erod right now, considering you know the past of Rodriguez? He has not been a consistent guy throughout his major league career. So can you completely depend on Erod? That's the scary thing about this team. Dave Dombrowski says we are built around our starting rotation. And right now I go through the handful of guys that will be getting starts on this team in the coming weeks, and I don't feel super confident in any of them. In any of them. 617-779-7937 is your number. Let's get to Bob. He's in New Hampshire. What's up, Bob?
How you doing?
Hey, Brad, what do you got, man?
So first on Benintendi, if you look back at his rookie year, mm-hmm. Members of the defensive plays he made where he was streaking across the outfield to Tampa Bay, going over the wall, but his speed, around, he hit the ball on the left side of the infield. It was the chance he was going to get an infield hit. He was a lot leaner. He has bulked up a lot over the last 3 years, and he looks like he's trying to launch everything and muscle everything. And he actually needs to lean out, go back to what he was, and get that whip action on his swing that he's lost because he's bulked up so much.
Yeah, maybe there's something to that, Bob. He has gotten a lot bigger over the past couple of years. The thing I would say, too, about Benintendi is some of those check swings, that's when you know a guy's completely lost at the plate. Like, do you see some of those check swings today? He has no idea what he's doing at the plate. It's really scary watching him. I really feel bad for the individual. I really feel bad for the guy because he was somebody that came in with a ton of praise, and he had performed early in his career, and now he just looks completely lost. Like, I feel bad for him on a personal level.
But that goes to where, I do too, but that goes to what he's trying to do at the plate. Instead of where he came up, hit the ball hard with whip action across all parts of the field, now he's trying to muscle launch everything, and that'll get you caught in.
Yeah, and Bob, it's interesting because, when you talk about somebody like Benintendi, Sam Travis had that problem where he got too caught up in the launch angle revolution, if you will, and that's why it took him so long to get back up to the major leagues. Now, he had a great season this year in AAA, but that's something I heard Will Fleming alluding to the other day. Is that something that really got into Sam Travis's head? I'll give Will Fleming credit for that. That's part of the reason that it took him so long to get back to this level, and maybe the same thing has happened to Benintendi. And I would agree with you on the body. I mean, he has gotten significantly bigger over the past, I'd say, year and a half or so. Remember, he's posting all those workout videos, so maybe that's part of it too. Maybe he's less athletic than he was. Maybe you're onto something, but definitely there's something in between the ears as well.
And then the other thing I wanted to talk about was Dana Lavangi. I mean, when you have so many pitchers regressing, and forget about the plan at the beginning of the year in spring training, and that was going to make the staff stronger in the second half of the year. You see nobody going past the sixth inning right now.
But isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? That's what we heard, right? They're all going to be stronger in the second half of the season. Now, everybody sucked at the beginning of the year, but now we're in the second half of the season, and this is the worst stretch for Price. Sale was on his worst stretch. Now, he had a nice start the other day.
So bad plan.
What's that?
Yeah. Bad plan, but yeah. So how about just progress over the last 24 months, with the exception of maybe Erod? Who has progressed in the bullpen or in the staff? Everybody's regressed with the exception of maybe David Price.
And Workman.
Okay, work fair.
Yeah. No, you're right. That's pretty much it. Nobody's gotten better. So your point is that something's going on with Dana Lavangi. You don't like the way, or at least the results would look at the point that he's not done a great job this year.
And it looks like the opposition hitters are jumping pitches all the time. Look at Mancini today. Now, some bad location from Cashner, but it just looks like the other team knows the game plan pitching-wise, and they just seem to be one step ahead of the whole starting staff.
Yeah, the other thing I would say, though, Bob, in defense of Dana Lavangi, is it's not like he has a whole lot to work with in the bullpen.
No, fair.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, man. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. It is an interesting point, though. How many of the pitchers on this staff have actually gotten better over the past year or so? Right? Matt Barnes isn't the same pitcher that he was last year, especially not the same pitcher we saw in the postseason. Brazier took a significant fall to the point where he's in AAA at this particular point in time. Porcello's fallen off. He's been absolutely atrocious. David Price has been better this year than last year, so I guess that's one guy. Chris Sale has not been nearly the same pitcher that he was a season ago, so most of the guys have actually taken a step back. Now, maybe Erod is that guy. Erod seems to be taking a step forward over the past couple of outings. You really like what you saw with Erod against the Dodgers. He was absolutely dynamic in that game. From my contention, that's the best game he's ever pitched. I get he had the 12 strikeout game against the White Sox last year, but that game, considering who you were going up against, it was a Friday night game right after the All-Star break. A lot of pressure on this Red Sox team. And he went out there, and he was the only one out of David Price, Chris Sale, and Eduardo Rodriguez. Erod was the only one that performed against the Dodgers up to the level of what an ace pitcher should look like. Now, I'm not saying Erod's an ace. Don't go crazy. But I'm saying he looked like an ace on that particular night, and he backed it up with a really nice outing against the Blue Jays as well. So maybe that's the one guy you can look at. But I'm not buying into Erod until I see it for a while here, because Erod, I've been hearing for years, that he has the best stuff on the staff. Remember, we hear that like every spring training. And over the past couple of weeks, he's pitched really well. But I want to see it for an extended period of time for Erod. I hope the light bulb moment has happened for Erod, because that would be great, because then at least you have a young pitcher on this staff going forward. Because it's frightening to me to look at this pitching staff when you know Porcello's not going to be here next year. And not that you want him here, he sucks. Evaldi's always injured. So that's a guy that you can't depend on going forward. David Price is aging, right? He's under contract till he's 36. This is probably going to be his best season in a Red Sox uniform. Chris Sale right now looks like a guy that over the past couple of years has broken down at September. He hasn't even started his contract extension. He's on the other side of 30. I can't depend on him going forward. So it would be nice for the Red Sox to have a solid young pitcher for the foreseeable future. And maybe that's something you discover over the second half of the season with Erod. We'll see what he does tomorrow against the Tampa Bay Rays. 617-779-7937 is your number. Brian Barrett with you for the next 45 minutes or so. Let's get to Eddie. He's in a car. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
Good. What do you got, man?
You know, this season feels like a throwaway season. You know, I keep getting up at these games. I keep getting ready to watch the next group of games.
Yeah.
And then it's just letdown after letdown after letdown. Now, I'm not going to say it's David Price's fault to Red Sox. I ain't going anywhere this year. But my God almighty, he certainly set them up for failure this weekend. They don't come in. They're not sharp on Friday night. He's terrible, and you can't help but wonder if the comments that he had, you know, had been making the previous couple of days affected his pitching. And everybody out there believes it did. If it didn't,
right,
there's people out there that are talking about karma. There's other people that are talking about the baseball gods. But you know what? The guy pitched great last year. He got rid of the demons. He did everything he had to do. All he had to do this year was play ball. Now, I'm not going to whine and blame this whole season on him, but the reason why I'm calling, this team's in trouble. This team's not making the playoffs. There's absolutely nothing that you can hang your hat on with this team. The starting pitching stinks. The only thing they got is offense,
mm-hmm,
but sometimes they don't even bring their offense to the game, like today. So, anyways, I'm a frustrated Red Sox fan. I'm happy they've done all these things through the years, but this is just false hope. This is like having a girlfriend who keeps, not a girlfriend, it's like having a girl keeps telling you, oh, maybe we can go out, maybe we can go out. No, we ain't going out. It's not happening. It's all over.
You seem like you speak from experience, Eddie. I appreciate the phone call. You can grab his line if you'd like at 617-779-7937. I think Eddie echoes what most Red Sox fans feel right now. They're aggravated. They're frustrated with the way their team's playing. And no, I'm not going to put the season on David Price. In fact, he's been the best starting pitcher all season long. But when you make a controversy the other day, when you make something into a controversy again the other day, you would figure at least he goes out to the mound and he backs that up. And whether or not it actually affected him on the mound, that's the perception, right? That's what people are going to draw. Well, it just so happened that earlier in the week, he was in this whole back and forth with Dennis Eckersley again, and then he pitched poorly on Friday. I'm sorry, you open yourself up to that type of criticism, whether or not it's right or wrong, whether the comments that he made and whether the controversy that ensued after the comments he made actually affected him on the mound or not. The reality is the perception is going to be it did affect him, right? That's what the perception is going to be, that it did affect David Price, because we've seen him go through so many different situations like this before. And the other thing that I really hated the most about this in terms of what David Price did with the whole Dennis Eckersley situation is the way he made his manager look bad. His manager was on OMF the other day for his weekly interview. Okay, he's on with the guys on OMF. And Christian Fourier asked him about the situation. Do you need this? And is it bad for the team? Essentially, I'm paraphrasing what Christian asked him. But basically, Cora said, I'd already met with David earlier in the day. It's not going to be a controversy. It's not going to be a story. It's not going to be a distraction. And what happened? Literally like 40 minutes after that happened, because OMF, those guys were still in the air when David Price had his media session. Literally right after he was talking to the guys on OMF, 40 minutes later, David Price is going out there and he's making this into a way bigger story than it needs to be. So he made his manager look bad. And it's ironic that he was criticizing Dennis Eckersley for being a bad teammate, even though he was misinformed, saying that nobody wanted to be in his documentary, even though he's misinformed because Ron Darling was in it, Mark McGwire was in it, right? Guys were in the documentary. So even though he was misinformed, essentially his claim about Dennis Eckersley is that he wasn't a great teammate. And when you do something like that, that's not being a good teammate. Making your manager look bad in front of everybody in this town, that's not being a good teammate. That's not being a good leader of the clubhouse. That's what irritated me more so than anything else with the David Price thing. Now, what he said was clueless. If you're going to criticize a guy, if you're going to assassinate a guy's character, at least have your facts right. But the thing that really irritated me is Alex Cora meets with you, you have a conversation with him, and he thinks everything's going to be fine, and then you go out and do that. I mean, that's what I really had an issue with. He made his manager look really, really bad. By the way, here was Alex Cora the other day on OMF.
Are you going to address it with these two guys? Do you have to, or do you just move on and let it go?
I already talked to David, and I know where we stand, so that's the only thing I have to do.
Will he talk to, do you think, to Eck? Because I get the feeling, and we had Eck on a while back, and I get the feeling that Eck didn't want to deal with Price.
He just wants to move on.
Yeah.
I mean,
but they're not moving on.
That's the thing.
I mean, everybody says they're moving on, but they're not moving on.
We got to move on.
Unbelievable. We got to move on. He had a conversation with David Price. It's unbelievable. That was on OMF earlier in the week. And then literally 40 minutes later, David Price is going out there and he's saying this stuff in front of the media. And it's like, all right, if you want to react the way you did on Twitter, I didn't have that big of a deal with that. The David Price responding to the quote on Twitter, that's fine. Whatever, no big deal. You act emotionally at that point, I should say. But after you have all this time and you can gather the information, that's what you do. You go out there and you basically call out Dennis Eckersley for being a bad teammate when you don't have the facts right. And you told, and your manager was at least under the impression that this wasn't going to be a distraction. And clearly it was. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Red in Cambridge. What's up, Red?
I was watching the game last night. It was quite entertaining. 16-6 is pretty convincing. So I figured today, as you might imagine, we were going to win. Maybe not by that margin of runs, but we were surely going to win. But then we got shut out. So I'd like to remind you of what happened in a different sport, where the Bruins were supposed to beat St. Louis 4-2. You know, and then they got home ice in the seventh game and they lost. And everybody's scratching their heads. Well, my point is, I'm not sure there's anything logical that you can come up with why we lost today. I would like to say it's God's will, but I don't know that you'll accept that. But the worst thing, the most precise thing we can talk about is what you've already touched on, that there's an emotional issue in the clubhouse. It's like a flu, but it's an emotional thing, and everybody's down. How can you score 16 runs one day and then no runs the next day? It just, you can't logically come up with an answer. That's my point.
Yeah, fair point, Red. I appreciate your phone call. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. I don't really think the Bruins-Blues comparison is fair here, because the Blues were in the Stanley Cup Final. The Orioles are, from a record standpoint, the worst team in Major League Baseball. From a winning percentage standpoint, they are tied with the Detroit Tigers. So I don't think you can make those comparisons. But nonetheless, point taken that they were supposed to win and they didn't win. Okay, I understand it from that perspective. But when I look at this team right now, the thing that I point to is everybody wants to come back to, well, it's not their year. Well, we were told it was going to be their year again. That's the issue that I have is before the season, Alex Cora came out and he said, if you thought we were good last year, you haven't seen anything yet. Like, this team was actually going to be better. They talked about the fact that they wanted to be the first team since the Yankees to repeat as World Series champions. And they have not handled prosperity well. They haven't. That's the reality of it. They have not handled prosperity well. They have not been even close to the team they were a season ago. And that's what's troublesome, because you could say, well, you know, it's so tough to repeat a Major League Baseball. That's fair, because nobody's done it since the Yankees. But look at what the Astros did a season ago. The Astros were considered to be the favorite heading into the playoffs out of the American League last year. In fact, most people thought that the Astros were going to beat the Red Sox in that American League Championship Series, and the Red Sox ended up winning that series 4-1. But the point was, the Astros followed up their World Series appearance with a trip to the ALCS. Remember, the same thing with the Cubs 2 years ago. They won the World Series, and the year after they won the World Series, they're playing in the National League Championship Series against the Los Angeles Dodgers. This Red Sox team right now is sitting 11 games back in the division. So that's what really irritates you, is this team basically has most of the same players back, and they have not lived up to the expectations that were set for them. Let's get to Dan in Boston. What's up, Dan?
Hello.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What do you got, man?
I think it's a defining moment this weekend that this team is done.
Throwing the towel in.
A couple of things. If you look at the their record against winning teams,
it's horrible.
God, it's awful.
Yeah, 1-6 against the Yankees, 4-5 against the Rays. They dropped 2 of 3 to the Indians. They've been bad against good competition.
And they can't jumpstart of 6 in a row, of 5 in a row. They just can't do it. And they're lucky they didn't get swept.
And Dan, is it me or is it always something dramatic when they lose a game? Like Price on Friday night after everything that happened with him. Or last week against the Dodgers after Erod won on Friday night. It's Sale has a horrific start. It seems like they have so many of these bad losses where it's like a competition to see what's the worst loss of the season. Ryan Brazier against the Indians blows the saves. I mean, there's all these examples.
David Price didn't help his teammates. He didn't help his manager. And he didn't help himself because, you know, he goes out and he basically flunks. He flunks.
Yep.
And it's an ironic moment for this team. How this was supposed to be a weekend where, you know, when you play teams like this, you sweep them.
Yeah, you should. I completely agree. Completely agree, Dan, and I appreciate your phone call. Number is 617-779-7937. And look, if this is gonna happen today, Asher Wojciechowski, who nobody had ever heard of, was going to have this great start. The point is, you shouldn't have been in a position going into Sunday where you needed to win to secure 2 out of 3. You can't lose that game on Friday night with the $217 million man David Price going to the mound after what he did earlier in the week. He's got to show up. You can't just get 4 innings out of Price in that particular scenario. Just not acceptable on Price's behalf after everything that had transpired this week. All right, if you want to hop on board, your number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next half hour or so here on Red Sox Review. We'll get you a trending in just a second here on WEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Yeah, I mean, just like I said, not disciplined enough. You know, he was able to expand, pitch through the edges the whole time, cutter, slider. And, you know, when he was way ahead in the count, used that fastball up, and we just couldn't stay away from the edges today. When we do that, we get in trouble. Any big league team that swing at the edges is weak contact, swings and misses, and we fall into the trap today.
One of the rare days when the Red Sox offense just did not show up for the game. Did not show up. And give Asher Wojciechowski, who nobody ever heard of before today, some credit for what he was able to do, because his stuff was really good. Slider was good. Fastball was good. He was locating his pitches. So give him credit. Guy was outstanding. It wasn't just like the Red Sox did this to themselves. He was outstanding on the mound tonight. But this is one of the rare times that the Red Sox offense has not shown up this season. This is more to me about the starting pitching. 617-779-7937 is the number. You look at the O's offense, 27th in runs, 24th in average, 27th in on-base percentage, 28th in OPS, and 24th in home runs. Okay, that's where the Orioles rank from a statistical standpoint as it pertains to their offense. And what did you get out of your starting rotation this weekend? Well, David Price was bounced around, 8 hits, 6 earned runs, gave up a pair of home runs, lasted only 4 innings. Rick Porcello comes out on Saturday night, and I get you still won the game because your offense is that damn good. And by the way, they had Wilkerson, a position player, pitching in that game, 55 miles an hour, which, by the way, is an embarrassment for the sport. That is embarrassing that you have position players out there. I mean, that's such a bad look for the game. But nonetheless, I digress. I don't want to go into rants against Major League Baseball in general. And then today, you have Andrew Cashner go out there, and he gives you 4 earned runs, and he gives up a pair of home runs. So that's what it's about. One of the worst offenses in Major League Baseball, right? Their best statistical category is average at 24th. That's their best statistical category, is their 24th in batting average. 27, 27, 28. That's where they're at in the league. And your pitching staff, and this team's supposed to be built around the pitching staff, they go out there and 3 starters in a row are horrible. 3 in a row. Price bad, Porcello bad, today Cashner bad. He's making excuses about how it's hot outside. I mean, come on, really? It was hot outside for Wojciechowski, and he pitched well, and he's pitching against a much superior offense than you were going up against, okay? So that's where you're at. That's why they lost the series 2 games out of 3, is the starting pitchers didn't show up. Quite frankly, Rick Porcello deserved to lose yesterday the way he threw the baseball. 617-779-7937 is your number. Let's get to Brad in Hyannis. What's up, Brad?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, good. What do you got?
Well, I know this notion, but I've heard people saying that David Price has made the manager look bad. I've heard that mentioned a number of times lately.
You don't think he did?
No, I think he made himself look bad. I don't think the manager did anything wrong at all.
No, no, but Brad, don't you think, if you think about it, don't you think it was a bad look that David Price put his manager in that position where he's doing
it was a bad look, but again... Yeah. To me, phrasing it made him look bad. It suggests that the manager did something negative at all. I personally think he made himself look bad, period.
Okay, but fair enough, Brad. But when the manager comes on his weekly interview on this very radio station and he says, I know my clubhouse, this won't be a distraction, that looks bad that literally 40 minutes later it's a distraction. That looks bad for Cora.
I get it. It puts him in a bad position. I'll say that. It puts him in a bad position. But I think, again,
The point is, we're arguing semantics. The point is that what he did to Alex Cora was unfair, is the whole point. That was unfair to Alex Cora. David Price, you meet with them, and then you do this.
I agree. I will say this much before I close. I think David Price, Friday night's game, the money that guy makes and the situation that he caused warranted him to pitch a great game, and he just came out flat.
So, say that again. I'm kind of lost.
I'm just saying, David Price, Friday night, if there was a time that guy needed to pitch well, was that game Friday night, in my view. And he just dropped the ball, I mean, in my opinion.
Yeah, he laid an egg. No doubt about that, Brad. I appreciate the phone call. I get the point now. He's saying, after you make those comments, you got to perform. I said that earlier. I completely agree with that notion. But David Price didn't show up, and people can say, and I know a lot of people have argued, well, the bad start doesn't have anything to do with the comments he made earlier in the week. That may all be true, but the reality is that's not the world we live in. In 2019, that's not the world we live in. We're going to basically say that because he made those comments, because there was a distraction, that could have led to the performance on the mound. People are going to make that connection. If David Price just goes out there and he throws 7 innings and he gives up just 1 run or 2 earned runs and the Red Sox win the game, it's probably even less of a story in terms of the Dennis Eckersley thing now. Like, we're probably still not talking about it. But the fact that he pitched poorly continues to keep the story relevant. Like, his next start, if he performs poorly again, I guarantee you that people are going to be pointing to the fact, well, David Price stirring up controversy again, David Price making headlines again, and look how he's performed since he made those headlines. That's what's going to happen. That is always what's going to happen when it comes to David Price, because we've seen this so many damn times with him before where he's made headlines and then he doesn't perform. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Adam. He's in a car. What's going on, Adam?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
What do you got? Yeah, I got you. What do you got?
So I think that right now the Red Sox are 100 games in and they're 8 games above 500. So if you extrapolate out, that's 12 games over 500 on the season, trying to make the playoffs. So I think rather than, you know, the trade deadline trying to add something and then losing your draft position because of the salary cap. They should go ahead and just trade Jackie Bradley Jr. now, get all the prospects they can for him, and then fire Dana Lavangie and maybe spark something on the team to go on a run, because they're going to need basically an impossible dream type run just to even make the playoffs. And I don't think Jackie Bradley's doing enough for you right now.
All right. Adam, let's tackle those points one at a time. I can see where you're coming from with the Jackie Bradley Jr. thing, because somebody eventually is going to give Jackie Bradley Jr. a contract that you say, wow, that's a lot of money for Jackie Bradley Jr. And quite frankly, it's not going to be here. So I can understand what you're saying. And Jackie Bradley Jr. is somebody that, hey, he was the American League Championship Series MVP. We've seen he play spectacular defense. Maybe you can get some prospects for him. So I see where you're coming from with that one. But with the Dana Lavangie thing, firing the pitching coach and thinking that you're going to get a spark, I just don't see how that thing plays out. I think, if anything, that creates more of a distraction for this team. That's something, if you were really entertaining that, I think you would do that in the offseason.
Well, the problem is none of the pitchers, like you were talking about earlier, maybe Workman is better. Nobody else is better, and somebody has to be held accountable, and the players have to see that, and you can't get rid of any of your players.
But Adam, here's the thing. Is it his fault that Chris Sale was banged around? He's throwing 90, 91 mile an hour fastballs. Is it his fault that Rick Porcello looks like a shot fighter right now? Like, I can't really blame him for most of the issues that this pitching staff is having. Is it his fault that Ryan Brazier is just completely overrated? Like, I just don't understand. Like,
well, I think it is his fault. He's a pitching coach. Ultimately, the pitching staff is his responsibility, unless you want to go to Cora. So
okay,
somebody has to stand up.
How do you get all these guys how do you get all these guys to perform last year then?
I don't know, but last year is last year, and this year is this year. So if you're not going to do anything, well, what does that tell the team?
So what you're saying is it's the pitching coach's fault that these guys aren't performing up to the level of their contracts. I mean, I just can't. I appreciate the call, but I just can't buy into that one. I'm not putting this on Dana Lavangie. I'm not. I'm sorry. Look, Rick Porcello's not locating his pitches. I don't know how that's on Dana Lavangie. Chris Sale hasn't looked like the same pitcher this season. At times, he can't find his slider. What is Dana Lavangie supposed to be able to fix all these issues with these guys? If you want to criticize maybe some of the game plans, some of the way they go about going after hitters, I just don't understand what this would do by firing the pitching coach, that that's going to bring some kind of spark to the team. Just makes no sense to me whatsoever, right? I mean, if anything, you look at what's gone on, he hasn't been given the proper artillery in the bullpen. How do you want him to get Ryan Brazier to pitch better when, quite frankly, the guy just got on a crazy run last year? It just so happened that they caught lightning in a bottle. The guy was pitching in Japan a couple of years ago. Like Marcus Walden this year, it's a guy that was in indie ball, okay? He was in indie ball, all right? And now you're supposed to get, like, a valuable contribution from him. If anything, you should be thankful that you got something out of Walden this year, because nobody was expecting him to pitch well. So it's a complete overreaction to go after the pitching coach and say that he's the issue with the team. Now, if you want to look at some of the game calling issues, Christian Vasquez has had issues throughout the season. I'm not looking at Dana Lavangie as the problem with this pitching staff. Chris Sale's making $145 million. He has to go out there and perform. And I get it. Last start, he looked good, but he's got to go out there and perform. That's the reality of the situation. Let's get to Mike in North Providence. Mike, what's going on, man?
Hello?
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, good. I'm not North Providence, just Providence. I don't know. You messed me up with the North Providence. Anyways.
Oh, sorry, man.
You guys are failing to mention that David Price Thursday said he had a meeting with Dennis Eckersley. Am I right?
He wanted to meet with him.
And Dennis Eckersley blew it off, right?
Didn't want to do it, right.
All bets are off after that.
What do you mean?
I'm with David Price. I'm with Price.
Okay, Mike, hold on one sec. So what happened originally is David Price on the plane told him to get the F out of here, and he was mocking him. He was humiliating him in front of the whole team. If you were Dennis Eckersley, would you want to meet with David Price so he can apologize to you? Sorry, that's not something I would just forgive somebody for. The guy humiliated me in front of the whole team.
We're adults here.
Okay,
well,
how is that an adult act by David Price? Dennis Eckersley doesn't owe him the right to apologize to him. You don't have to let him apologize to you. The guy acted like a child. You don't have to sit down with David Price. You probably lost all respect for David Price in that moment. Why would you meet with him?
Just to hash it out. It's over.
But why do you care about hashing it out? The guy humiliated you.
Get over it. Eckersley probably got over it. I mean, I don't even think we should be talking about it 800 days later.
Well, the reason we're talking about it again is because of David Price.
And how you're intertwining a bad start Friday with the Eckersley thing is just out of nowhere. Because he had a bad game was because of Eckersley was on his mind.
That doesn't make sense.
We've seen David Price with distractions before, and he hasn't handled them well.
Because he threw a couple of bad pitches, and they hit them. It wasn't because of Dennis Eckerle was on his mind. I mean, that's crazy.
Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was. We don't know, Mike. There's no way that we could prove it.
But how can you say that he had a bad game because he had Dennis Eckersley on his mind?
I'm not saying because he had Dennis Eckersley on his mind. I'm saying there was a distraction during the week. So when you make a distraction for your team during the week and then you don't perform, it looks bad. And David Price is somebody that we've heard. There's been drama with him over the past couple of years. He goes out there. He creates a distraction for his team. He doesn't perform on Friday night. People are going to connect the dots and say, well, David Price is distracted again. Like, that's the reality of what happens in 2019. When you do stuff like and then you don't perform, this happens.
Okay, so this is a good conversation I'm having with you. So if you have a distraction in your home during the week, I don't know, something happens. Your kid falls off a bike and breaks his leg. You're going to have a bad radio show come Sunday afternoon? Really?
That could happen. That could certainly happen, Mike. First of all, if I hypothetically, I don't have a kid, but if I did have a kid and he fell off his bike and he was dealing with a broken leg, that could get in my head when I'm on the radio later if I'm thinking about my kid. Certainly it could. You don't think you could have a distraction in your life that carries over to work where you say, okay, and work the next day, I didn't. What's that?
The guy wasn't thinking about Dennis Eckersley when he threw that.
I'm not saying he's specifically thinking about Dennis Eckersley, but it's a bad look when you have this controversy this week and you lay an egg. I appreciate the call, Mike. That's where I'm at with this thing. All I'm saying is it's a bad look. And clearly, David Price looked to be distracted throughout the week. So people are going to point to that and people are going to say, well, David Price dealing with this Dennis Eckersley thing again. And the thing that Mike failed to realize is the problem that you have with the David Price thing is he assassinated a guy's character, and it wasn't true. That's the other component to all this, okay? That's the other component to this, is he said that none of his teammates wanted to talk about him, and none of his teammates wanted to be in his documentary, and they were. So David Price did this whole rant about Dennis Eckersley that was false. It wasn't true. 617-779-7937 is your number. Let's get to Wally in Fall River. What's up, Wally?
Yeah, what's up, Brian? I want to hit on a couple of subjects first. Sure. Then I'll get your comments. But you look at the Red Sox. What's that battle cry up? And, oh, yeah, don't worry, we'll be all right. We still got plenty of time left. And the other one is we're saving all our bullets for October. But I don't think it's worked out that way. I mean, we're going to have to see what Dombrowski does at the deadline. This team is still alive for, you know, one of the wild card spots. But our destiny, Brian, is in our own hands. We get, about 12, 13 games in a row with the Rays and Yankees. But as far as Price and Eckersley, Price, we should know better with this guy. A leopard can't change his spots. Eckersley is no fool. He's been around the block a few times. He's been to a few rodeos. He's well-respected in Boston. Everybody in baseball loves this guy. Same with Jerry Remy and Steve Lyons. So he didn't prove nothing. I mean, who's going to come to his testimonials? His late dog Astro and his mother-in-law?
Come on, Wally. I appreciate the call. Don't go after Astro. That's a low blow. Come on, man. Don't go after Astro. But nonetheless, point taken on the Eckersley thing. It's just, I don't understand why David Price did that the other day. It just made no sense to me whatsoever. He didn't do himself any favors. And the fact that you didn't research the documentary, I don't know, maybe it was on in the clubhouse and he saw like the first 5 minutes and he just assumed that no other players were in the documentary. Maybe that was his assumption. If that was his assumption, you better be damn right about that, man. You better be right about that situation. All right. Number is 617-779-7937. If you want to hop on board, what do you make of your Red Sox dropping 2 of 3 to the Baltimore Orioles? And some numbers with Rick Porcello that are just absolutely startling. I'll get to that as well. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
All right, Brian Barrett with you, number 617-779-7937. I just want everybody to realize this. Rick Porcello will be starting a game against the Yankees this weekend. Rick Porcello is going to be starting a game this weekend against the Yankees. Rick Porcello has now had five consecutive bad starts. Like, if you had another option, he would be out of the rotation right now. The way he's pitching, he would be out of most rotations. Five innings, 11 hits, six earned runs against the Orioles yesterday. Six earned against the O's, four earned against the Blue Jays, six earned against the Tigers, six earned against the Yankees, didn't make it out of the first inning, and five earned against the Blue Jays in the prior Blue Jays start. So he's been racked by the O's, the Jays, and the Tigers, three of the worst offenses in baseball. The Jays came into today 23rd in runs, the O's were 27th, and the Tigers dead last. Right now, he has a 5.16 ERA, or I should say 5.61 ERA. That is 74th amongst qualified candidates in terms of starters. The only guys worse, Ronaldo Lopez, Ivan Nova, and Aaron Sanchez. So Rick Porcello has literally been one of the worst starting pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. And the Red Sox are going to put that guy on the mound against the Yankees this weekend. The same Rick Porcello that the last time he faced the Yankees, it was in London, and he didn't make it out of the first inning. And the reality of the situation is this, they don't have a better option right now. Let's go to Dave and Revere. What's up, Dave?
Hey, listen, I'm going to make a long story short, okay?
Sure.
I haven't been paying attention to the season. I didn't watch the game today. But you know where this starts? This starts with John Henry. John Henry knew damn well this closer by committee crap don't work in 2003. And then 16 years later, he doesn't get a closer. He knows this doesn't work. So the season was over before it began.
Well, it's a good point, Dave, that, you know, this whole closer by committee thing has backfired on them really, really badly, and I appreciate the phone call. It's definitely true. It has backfired on them, and their idea of who they could replace Craig Kimbrel with, like the guys that were going to get outs late in games, Ryan Brazier's in AAA, and Matt Barnes, come to find out, his ERA on back-to-back days is 9. So if he was going to be a guy that you were going to depend on to get outs late in ball games, he needs to be able to go on back-to-back days, and right now he can't do it. Also with Matt Barnes, he's converted 4 of his 10 save opportunities. So for whatever reason, he's scared of the ninth inning. He cannot perform in the ninth inning. Let's get to Steve in Rhode Island. What's up, Steve?
Yeah. Hi, Brian.
How are you?
What I'd like to talk about is an intriguing possibility.
Okay.
Matt Harvey just got released by the Angels.
Yeah.
And I think that he could be a good reclamation project for the Red Sox. I think if Louis Tiant worked with him, Tiant won games with guts and guile after he hurt his arm. I mean, he was a 20-game winner with Cleveland, lost 20 with the Twins, came back and was, the iron guy for the Red Sox. And I just think that the Dark Knight's out there, if you got him, put him down at Pawtucket. If he'd take the demotion, have Louis work with him, he would solve some problems next year as possibly long relief fifth starter. And he's a local kid from Groton, Connecticut.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to know your thoughts about that.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Steve. So the Angels just got rid of him. He has a 7.09 ERA this season. 3-5 on the year. He has not been the same pitcher since he left the Mets. Remember, originally he had that like thoracic outlet syndrome. I just don't like the makeup of the player. I don't like the makeup of the player whatsoever. He's always been a distraction everywhere he goes. And quite frankly now, he looks like he's a shot fighter. It looks like he does not have anything left in the tank. He doesn't have near the stuff that he once had. And quite frankly, I don't think the Red Sox are the organization that are going to get the most out of Matt Harvey. Based on what we've seen with some of the other guys in this pitching staff over the past couple of years, and really look at the system. Who's the last really good starting pitcher that this team has actually developed, right? And I understand he's been with different organizations before, but really, like, the star pitchers in this pitching staff over the past couple of years have been guys that other organizations have developed, right? Price came through the Rays, went to the Tigers, the Blue Jays, etc. Chris Sale came out of the White Sox organization. Rick Porcello came out of the Tigers organization. The only guy that is, like, your guy on this staff is Erod. That's the only guy. And Erod, the book is still out on Erod whether or not he's going to be a great starter for the long term or whatever. He's had a nice couple of starts here. He's gone on a nice little run. But really, since John Lester, you have not developed a consistent starting pitcher. And this isn't just in the Dave Dombrowski era. This goes to the Theo Epstein era, the Ben Sherrington era. Even when you were winning World Series, Schilling wasn't your guy. Pedro wasn't your guy. Beckett wasn't your guy. Derek Lowe's like one of the only other guys. Derek Lowe, John Lester, and I guess the newest guy in that mold could be E-Rod. But again, I got to see E-Rod do it for a consistent amount of time. So trying to get the best out of Matt Harvey, I just don't think it's in the cards for the Red Sox at this particular point in time. And quite frankly, I don't think it's what you need. What you need right now is you need more help in the bullpen, and maybe Nathan Eovaldi can provide some of that. I don't think you need to do a reclamation project on a guy like Matt Harvey at this particular point in time. The Red Sox have too many damn issues. I don't want to see a guy like Matt Harvey come into this clubhouse, because everywhere he's been, it seems like he causes controversy. And quite frankly, it's not worth taking a shot on a guy that has a checkered past and a guy that hasn't performed in a couple of years. I would be against a Matt Harvey signing, if you will, even if it costs you essentially nothing and he's pitching in the minor leagues. I'm all done with dealing with somebody like Matt Harvey. They got to figure out what they have in Andrew Kashner right now, because apparently he was upset with the way that it was too hot in Baltimore today. Even on the other side, the guy was facing a better lineup in Wojciechowski, and he was dealing with the heat as well. All right, thanks to Bridget for producing. Thanks to all of you. Coming up next right here on WEI, we're going to get you some Sunday night baseball as the Braves take on the Nationals. Have a great evening, everybody. Be safe and be well.
25 years and counting. The number one sports station in Boston and throughout New England. Sports Radio, WEI.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.